This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story, we might be reaching a state of crisis in our schools with the lack of English language teachers in the country. Rather, we will be in one if we don't declare the state of crisis right now. This is Datin Noor Azima Abdul Rahman's opinion. She's a National Education Advisory Council member, and she gave some numbers. We're short of 2,000 teachers and making the situation a little bit more dire. About 1,000 teachers are retiring every year. She wants the government to call it a crisis so that more serious action can be taken to close this gap. One suggestion she offered was to have English medium schools at every state to produce the English language teachers we need. And we'll get her on the line later to elaborate on her thoughts. But my question is, and I've always wondered this question, what is the value of English for us today? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. So for me growing up, English language was the language to focus on. And that's quite a huge age gap between you and I, Cam.
How dare you? Huge.
An age gap.
Two Kelvins make one me, that's true.
So was it the language of focus while you were growing up?
Well, I mean, I grew up in England, so yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah, people weren't saying, oh my God, we need to speak Latvian. But moving forward, though, we can safely say that English is, we can look at any indicator in the world. But moving forward, if we're talking about educating children now, they're going to come into the workforce in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
And they, in their 20s, in 20 years' time. So therefore, what are we going to project? What do we imagine is going to be the languages for the future? Mandarin, of course, is going to be very important. I mean, it's spoken exclusively, not exclusively, it's spoken in China, of course. Will it grow to become a language of business beyond? I would certainly say in places like Africa, Sri Lanka, for that matter, actually. And also, as the years go by, many countries speak English, in inverted commas, but are becoming mutually unintelligible. So that here we are in Malaysia speaking Malaysian English, but it might be that if you go to, I don't know, say somewhere in Africa, it might be that there'll be a difficulty for both sides to actually understand each other's accents. And therefore, can you say that they are speaking English if they cannot understand each other and yet they're supposedly speaking the same language? So, yes, English is important right now, but I wonder, is it going to be in the future?
That point about how our English within different countries is changing, I think that's actually a wonderful thing, because that means we are creating new languages.
Absolutely.
Every day. We're adding new words to the lexicon every day. On that note about the point on whether English will still be as important in the future, I'm on the side that it might not be, because if we just look at the investments locally, Chinese investments are increasing ever more so, especially with the Belt and Road Initiative. So Mandarin will be quite important in certain areas where the investment is a lot more prominent, say in places like Johor. So yeah, though I also do think you can more or less get by even if you don't have English as a skill. If you mainly speak Malay, you can get by. If you mainly speak Mandarin, you can also get by. So
absolutely,
with English always constantly being sold as the language of business, as the language of getting yourself out there, being a representation of the global citizen that you are as a Malaysian, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily will continue to be the case, say, in the next 10, 20 years.
No, and with the growth of India.
Yes.
India is going to be growing, not just in terms of its economy, but also its numbers. And if you you learn Tamil, if you go to a Tamil school, you could be well placed to pick up on doing business in one of the growing parts of India, which is itself growing already.
Yeah.
At the moment, Indonesia, Bahasa Indonesia, Bahasa Malaysia, pretty similar, is only Malaysia's 12th largest trading partner. So there's a lot of room for growth there. And the Indonesian middle class is growing at incredible speed. It's already larger than the entire population of Malaysia. So there are great opportunities there. And for the English language world, Brexit, for instance, in the mother country of the English language, Brexit basically takes Britain out of the equation. It no longer exists. America with Trump is, he's wanting to, I don't know what he's wanting to do, but the American economy is the driver of the English language.
Yeah.
Hollywood is the cultural propagandist for the English language. It's hard to imagine at the moment anything breaking that, but if you look at the growth of K-pop and the impact that that's having on certainly the Malay world, people are going off to learn Korean.
Yeah.
Simply so they can access Korean culture. I mean, growing up, that's just inconceivable for me. But now young people want to learn Korean.
Mm. For my time, well, I'm still technically young. But for my time, it was really Japanese that was the language to pick up if you were a fan of Japanese pop culture, if it's anime or if it's manga. So yeah, I wasn't quite surprised with the Korean Hallyu wave that happened. You can let us know your thoughts. What is the value of the English language for us Malaysians today? Is it important? Why? Why not? You can call us 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Date Nor Azimah, National Education Advisory Council member, in just a moment. More on the Evening Edition right after this on BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
It's Kelvin and Cam on the Evening Edition, and we are talking about a possible crisis facing our schools where we lack English language teachers. And that, of course, came through from Date Nor Azimah Abdul Rahman. She is a National Education Advisory Council member, and she's on the line with us. She's also the chairperson of PAGE. Date Nor Azimah, thanks for joining us on the show. What are your thoughts on the need for more English teachers in our schools? How bad is the shortage?
I think the shortage is bad because without teachers, the kids aren't learning in class. So to me, even if one teacher is absent from class, that's bad enough. So imagine, so many English classes not having teachers in them. And of course, the effect becomes multifold. And which is why it becomes a national problem, because graduates are coming out and not speaking in English, and hence they become unemployed or underemployed.
You were quoted as saying that every year 1,000 teachers would retire. What can the government do to manage this gap?
Well, the ministry is aware of the figures. Then they employing teachers is an ongoing concern. So they have to ensure that the numbers are filled. It's just like any other job, say in the private sector or even the government sector. Once there is a vacancy, you have to find ways and means to fill it up with the right people.
Right. And you've also asked for the establishment of English medium schools in every state to produce teachers proficient in English. How does this help address this problem?
Well, the idea of English medium schools to produce teachers was really to eliminate the resistance of English medium schools. We have been saying let's have English medium schools, but we're also aware of the fact that the ultra nationalists don't like it. So why do we want to keep hitting the brick wall? It possibly could also be the source of the brain drain. If you're very proficient in English, you might want to go abroad and never come back. So we're very aware of that. So we think that the only reason to probably get away with English medium schools is to produce the English language teachers, whom we don't have, because how are you going to produce fine English teachers from a Malay medium of instruction type of school? So I think we've been dreaming that we can, but we can't. So how are you going to expect to have a different outcome if the input is the same? So if we want a different outcome, we have to do things differently from the start. So what we should do is introduce English medium schools adequate enough so that you can in the long run, bridge this gap of a shortage of English language teachers. So it has to be multi-pronged. Of course, immediately you have to address the problem. But as far as English medium schools are concerned, I think this is probably the long-term solution to the problem that we have. And I think we should start with maybe Sabah and Sarawak and the states in peninsula which have where there's little resistance or no resistance at all. So we don't need many, but probably one or two in every state just to fill up the numbers.
And would this be enough? Education Minister has said that teachers are being trained and more English teachers are being hired to address the issue. Is this enough?
Well, we don't need very many English language teachers. I think in all we probably need 40,000 at one point in time. And we have a shortage of about 2,000 now. But also what we have realized is that out of the 40,000 English language teachers that we need, 15,000 or 16,000 of them are non-optionist English language teachers. So their option is actually something else and their minor is English, but they are teaching English language because of the shortage. So what we really need to do is not just bridge that gap of 2,000 plus 1,000, but we also need to look at getting the real English language options teachers to be teaching English and not anybody else.
And in addition to that, would changes need to be made to the existing English curriculum, or is it sufficient?
I think as far as the curriculum is concerned, I think we are all right with it. I think what we really need is the leadership, really proficient teachers, English language teachers. We need the dual language program to be enhanced. We need more kids, more pupils to be speaking the language, rather than learning the language. Because like any language, you have to keep practicing it. So I think what's important is that each and every school has to create that environment where children are encouraged to speak the English language and not be condemned or teased. And it's not just the pupils, the teachers themselves should make an attempt to be bilingual so that there's that culture of bilingualism in every school.
Dr. Nazima, thank you for sharing that with us. That was chairperson of PAGE, Dr. Noor Azima Abdul Rahim. And joining us now, actually, is Dr. Kwang Ching Hei. She's a language consultant. Dr. Kwang, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. So English at some point was the language of importance in terms of getting a job and being competitive. Does it still have that value?
Oh, yes, it is. It's not just in getting jobs. It's how people perceive you sometimes. When you speak good English, for example, people trust you better. And I think people also somehow or other give you that kind of a respect. Although it's not that saying, I'm not saying that when you speak proper Mandarin or proper Malay, people don't respect you. I'm just saying you somehow or other garner that kind of respect and credibility when you speak good English in that sense.
But looking to the future, will English continue to be as widespread and important as it is today?
Well, I think it's going to go on because if I just look at universities and research and publications, we are actually moving towards that area. Most of our publications would be ideally be written in English. Then you get more visibility and you get more readers. And if you write in Tamil or Chinese, I suppose it's constrained to those countries with speakers who are well-versed in those languages. You know, whether you want to do research, you want to apply for funds, or you want to have good networking, you still need that language, that proficiency. Otherwise, how are you going to get a connection? So if you ask me, is English going to be important in the future? I believe so. It's going to be very important. Because English doesn't belong to the English speakers anymore. English belongs to everybody. And, you know, when you interact at conferences, what language do you use to communicate with other people but English?
Should the language we use in schools reflect how adaptable those languages will be to best prepare our students? For example, if English is expected to be universally used in the near future, should our schools be teaching in English?
Yeah, because we have to continue teaching English in our education, whether we like it or not. But we shouldn't do away with Malay, for example, because it's our official language, is the native spoken language of the people in the country. And I think we shouldn't do away with Chinese, like dialects, or Mandarin, or Tamil, or Punjabi, whatsoever, because that's our identity. So we shouldn't actually mix the language that reflects our identity with the language of knowledge, with the language that empowers us to progress, you know, in the future. You know, in other countries, people are coming to Malaysia to do the postgrad studies. And why are they doing it? Because we are well-versed in English, and most of our lecturers are well-versed in English. And we can actually help these students who come from Palestine, Libya, Iran, Iraq, to actually gather more knowledge because of language. It's not because of anything else, you know. I believe the knowledge we can gather from anywhere, but when we can actually translate the knowledge into a language that our learners can understand, that it empowers them.
There is a widely held belief or fear that if we don't teach in vernacular languages in our schools, they will lose out to English. In your opinion, is teaching in our native language necessary for the development and long-term growth of the language?
Yes, I think so. I think so, but I think the reason why it's not growing at the same time is because we don't have teachers who are well-versed in teaching those languages. It's like, you know, in our university formerly, we had very few teachers of Tamil. I don't know why. And even in our Chinese or Mandarin-speaking unit, the teachers who were teaching Mandarin were of a very small quantity compared to those who were teaching English. I think if we allow people to understand that Mandarin is a beautiful language, Malay is a beautiful language, we can learn so many things about it, and yet we can teach other people about the beauty of the language, then I think we are on the way. A lot of importance has been placed on either Malay or English, forgetting that Mandarin is important, Tamil is important. You know, I was saying some time back, if I had the opportunity of giving my children education earlier on with my knowledge now, I would send my children to a Tamil school, allow them to learn Tamil, because I can teach them Chinese or Mandarin at home and they can pick up English at school. And Tamil is actually dwindling because many parents don't believe that it's an important language. It is, isn't it? It's just that knowledge is not actually documented in Tamil as much as it is documented in English. So therefore, that's why many people don't think that Tamil is important.
Thanks for that, Dr. Kwang. That was Dr. Kwang Ching He, a language consultant. And I think there is a lot to take away from that that whole conversation that we just had with her. And it's of course that point about the fact that the fear and that belief that English erodes languages, it erodes cultures. It is a fear we not only see here, but we also see elsewhere.
It's kind of understandable on one level, in that English language, as indeed French, Spanish, Swahili, these are language steamrollers that are kind of notorious for obliterating languages with very small populations. In the case of Malaysia, though, you have, say, Malay. And in the Malay-speaking world, it's a large population. And it is necessary to speak Bahasa Malaysia in this country to get by. It's not in danger of dying, but there is a belief, and I don't know if it's sometimes it's just whipped up as it's an artificial fear, that the Malay culture will be beaten down. But the Malay language has absorbed words from so many other languages that the Malay people have had contact with.
Yeah.
And there's this sort of talk now that English is not a Malaysian language. English is somehow an alien language. No, English is a Malaysian language. It is so widely spoken. It must be called that. If you go to India, if you go to the Indian Parliament, in Indian Parliament, you're entitled to speak in a great many languages, and English is one of them. And I really think that English should be given that not precedence, but that kind of legitimacy in this country.
If you agree or if you disagree with Cam that English is a Malaysian language, you can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.